حي على الفلاح.
The people who found the dam of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Well, Ibn Kathir mentions that in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, the search for the dam, the barrier behind which Ya'juj and Ma'juj are trapped. And this was during the time of the Khalifa Al-Wathiq, 232 after the Hijrah, who died at that point, from the Abbasid dynasty. He, in a dream, saw that the wall or the barrier of Ya'juj and Ma'juj like opened up and that they came out and so on and so forth. So then he sent an expedition of something like 60 men under the leadership of a man by the name of Salam At-Turjuman. And he was given this nickname because he spoke 30 languages, something like that. And they went out, and then it in detail mentions how many camels he took with him, how many horses he took, how many donkeys he took, how many men, and how many died on the way to find it, and how many died on the way back. How they decided which direction to go in, all these things, we don't know. And which direction did they go in exactly? We're not exactly sure, we don't have these exact details. But after 2 years, they found this area. They found the barrier of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And he even describes that he found some of the materials that were used to build the dam, that, you know, for melting the metal, and they had some things that were left outside like that. And then he said it was really, he was huge and really, really tall or high, and no mountains next to it. What does that mean? Like, there were no mountains next to it, so they couldn't climb up the mountain so they could get up on top of the barrier or look over or anything like that. So basically, and they didn't have any type of machinery or mechanism to throw a rope that high over it so they could climb over it. Basically, they documented all that, and then they came back, and a bunch of the men also, the people died on the way back. Now, can we know for sure if that was the dam? And it's also strange, like, why were there no mountains around it? Wasn't it Saddain, two mountains that had no other way in or out? It's possible that maybe what he looked at was the mountain itself covered up, you know, or the front of it covered up. But the point is that, do we know for sure if this was the dam or not? It's possible, and it's also possible that it wasn't the dam. And it mentions that he went to the northeast, but northeast of what? I mean, it just wasn't very clear. But the point is that even if he did find the dam, it's possible that that actually was it. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow them to find it, and he didn't allow us to find it? And there are really two answers there. Number one, it's possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to see it or find it and will not allow us because, number one, with whatever weapons and machinery and technology they had available, they couldn't make a hole through it or collapse it or open it. So if they saw it, it's harmless. If we find it, we have the capacity and the machinery to break it open. And we will break it open because that's just how we are. We have to meddle, all right? We have to bring these people democracy. We have to check if they have oil. I'm kidding, of course. We would never leave them alone. You know, we have to show them iPhones, you know, so they can start taking pictures of their food. So we wouldn't leave them alone. And that's why Allah in His wisdom could have allowed them, if it is what it is, then that would be part of that wisdom. Because they wouldn't meddle, we would meddle. They couldn't open it. If they wanted to, we could open it. And until today, by the way, there are people who have not come in contact with the rest of the world, or what, quote unquote, and I use this term very loosely, civilized man. I always give the example of North Sentinel Island. Go off India, right? You're going east, traveling on the ocean, and continue for a while, you'll get to this little island known as North Sentinel Island, and these people have had little to no contact with outsiders, basically. But for years, people have been trying to go to them and meddle and all that stuff until the Indian government forbade anyone going to that region. But after the tsunami, they tried to go and check if they were okay. A helicopter flew over the island and people came, And there's a picture, you can, if you Google North Sentinel Island, the Sentinelese are that's the name of the people. You'll see a picture taken from a helicopter, and this guy's trying to shoot the arrow at the helicopter. They want to be left alone, and we don't want to leave them alone. And the same would happen to Ya'juj and Ma'juj. But that was that expedition, and it's very possible that they could have found the dam of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So how will they escape? They're behind this dam for a long period of time. They've been behind it for a while. And Dhulqarnain was able to trap them behind it because they weren't there. They were deep inside wherever they are, and he just closed the entrance. Because some people ask, how come Dhulqarnain could contain them, and then later on Isa ibn Maryam, as we'll see, he couldn't contain them? And the answer is that, just like I explained, and when they come out, they will come out angry, extremely angry. And that's why they start killing everyone on earth. Because you guys are the ones who trapped us here. That's why they come out so angry. So every day, and we said Allah mentioned and hinted that it would have been easier, right, for them to climb over the dam than to make a hole through it. But every single day, they try to dig through and break through this barrier. And they get near to it, and at the end of the day, the one in charge of them, the hadith says, the one in charge of them. So that means they were organized. And there's like the foreman now who's in charge and is getting all the workers to do the work. So it's every day when they almost break through, the one in charge says, we will continue, tomorrow we will break through. And they come back the next day and it's completely sealed off again, and they have to start all over from zero. And this has been going on for thousands of years, going back to strength to two arguments. Number one, the argument that said that they were not very intelligent people because they never thought to climb over. It could be due to the lack of intelligence. We also said it could be due to the fact that Allah steered them away from that, so they don't come out. Then the second thing is, they've been for thousands of years now, they'll dig, they almost get through, and then until they were almost about to see the light or the sunlight, they almost break through, then they come back tomorrow. This foreman says, okay, tomorrow we will break through. They come back tomorrow and the thing starts all over again. Thousands of years, none of you thought, hey, let's have two shifts, night shift and a day shift. When the day shift starts, the other one stops, the other one will continue and we'll bust through this thing finally. But they don't think of that at all. No one even thinks to fire this guy, the foreman, let's call him. Anyways, but then one day, the guy in charge will say, We'll break through tomorrow, insha'Allah. So how do they know what insha'Allah is? Do they speak Arabic? Are they Muslim? None of the above, right? So the scholar said it could be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire him to say this word, insha'Allah. And it's not, maybe it's not from their language, not from their culture. They don't even know what it means. When he says insha'Allah, everyone else looks at him and says Gesundheit. They don't know what he's saying. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scholars say, wanted to make insha'Allah, because they only come out by the will of Allah. This is a decree. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that word to be part of why they come out. So he says, tomorrow we will break through insha'Allah. And then everyone looks at him. I'm making this part up. What? He's like, I don't know. But let's come back tomorrow. They come back tomorrow and it looks exactly the same. And that day, they break through and they will emerge. And there's a beautiful and a popular hadith, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's narrated by Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. She narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up distraught at night, and he says, La ilaha illallah, none has a right to be worshipped except Allah. Woe to the Arabs from an evil that has drawn near. Today, there has been an opening in the dam of Ya'juj and Ma'juj like this. Then she says he made a circle with his thumb and forefinger, like that. For those people who are saying figuratively, what does this mean figuratively? That there's an opening in the dam this big. A number of issues about this hadith. They said, we said it's in Bukhari and Muslim, so no issues with this authenticity. The issues of discussion were, why did the Prophet say, woe to the Arabs? So some scholars said, it is possible that when they emerge, they will يعني basically affect the Arabs more than anyone. يعني maybe the Arabs will be most afflicted by Ya'juj and Ma'juj more than anyone else at the time. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, woe to the Arabs from an evil that has drawn near. Now, the other explanation, some scholars said, if you looked at the Muslims at that time, the Muslims were almost 100% were Arab at that moment. Now today they're less than 18%. But at that moment, all the Muslims were Arab. So if the Prophet ﷺ said, woe to the Arabs back then, it meant woe to the Muslims from an evil that has drawn near. And that's a very, very reasonable explanation. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So they will emerge. Allah Azza wa Jalla described that they're descending from every mound. And it's as if you can see them. You're looking at the horizon and just every mountain, they're just coming down. Every hill, they're just running down that hill.